Our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. When I was in college, I spent a summer working in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park through an internship with the Student Conservation Association. So a lot of acronyms in the Park Service, but it was a great way to spend a summer. And despite being interns, they actually let us outside now and then, which was lovely because, of course, the Great Smokies is a beautiful place. And we'd give all kinds of talks and we'd do hikes. I know I gave a talk on bears and on fireflies and on all the ways to use corn that the natives and the early settlers would use. I got to do hikes up at the park's highest point called Klingman's Dome. You had to like walk and talk at the same time upwards. You got better over the summer. And I don't want to make it sound tougher than it was because the path up to Klingman's Dome is paved, so it's not exactly roughing it, but it's still steep, you know. But of course, it was still government work. And so 70% of the time, 80% of the time, I was standing or sitting behind the main information desk at the visitor center, hearing the same questions over and over again, giving the same kind of advice to every thousand tourists that come through every single day. You know, yes, if you see a bear in the park, they are cute, but please do not feed them. You know, a fed bear is a dead bear, so to speak. No, you don't need a permit to drive through the park. Yes, you should shift into low gear if you're going down the other side of the mountain because, you know, you could smell the brakes on, you know, for the people on the downward slope that had melted. And the question I would get most of all was, where are the bathrooms? And they are around to the right, in the back. I can still remember. I think they probably remodeled it since then, but it really was kind of an inconvenient place. Yep, we have bathrooms. They're just around the back. Oh, and then, of course, every once in a while, every 100th or every 1,000th one, you get kind of the conspiracy theorists. You have to explain, no, just because the Great Smokies was designated a UNESCO World Heritage Site does not mean it was taken over by the UN. So you get all types. It was a very fun way to spend the summer as a college student, you know, and you got a little AmeriCorps scholarship at the end of it. But, you know, one of the tasks that I had there that kind of, you know, oh man, it just made me groan at first, but I really came to love, was that once or twice a week, we were scheduled to be the ones to open up the park, or to open up the visitor center at least. You'd kind of go there, you know, you'd get, make sure all the brochures are all straightened, kind of unlock the doors, raise the flagpole. And then, because I was on the North Carolina side, the it's called the O'Connell Lufty Visitor Center, they have a living history farm as part of the visitor center. And so you also got to, you know, feed the chickens and the pigs and the two cows and the one horse and the one sheep. And the sheep like to eat banana peels if you had, if you wanted to give them a treat. We didn't just feed them banana peels, but that was, you know, he really liked them. But it was, you know, you'd be up at the crack of dawn, you know, and you kind of see and hear the world just sort of wake up, you know, before all the rush of tourists came through, before all the cars motoring up and down the mountain. You were just kind of up with the animals. It was like the most ideal sort of farming experience ever, you know, just a handful of animals, just a few little tasks in the morning. Then you just kind of got to ease your way into the world, you know, and I know a lot of you are early risers, so you probably don't need for me to explain what that feels like, but it is definitely a fun sort of experience, as long as you have some, you know, coffee as well to go alongside it. So yes, it's all very quaint, and it was something that just, you know, I was thinking of that this week as I read Mark's gospel, this idea of being the watchman, right, the gatekeeper. You know, what hour are you going to be at? Is it going to be the evening or the morning? But to be ready for whatever comes your way, you know, that's, sometimes we have these moments in our life, we are kind of the, you know, the watchman, the gatekeeper. You know, Mark's is such a fascinating gospel. I'm glad I get to be sort of begin my time here with Mark, with all of you. It does have its challenges. You can tell the lectionary committee back in, I don't know, the 70s or whenever they made this schedule of readings we have over a three-year period, that they weren't quite sure what to know what to do with it. Now, Mark is thought to be one of the oldest gospels, but it's also one of the shortest. And so it doesn't have a lot of the material that Matthew or Luke have. And so you'll notice we're beginning with the 13th verse. We'll get to the first verse next week with John the Baptist, but we're beginning with the 13th verse. And part of the reason for that is because Mark just sort of begins. It's like a paragraph or two of John the Baptist, and then it's just straight into Jesus' ministry, his baptism, and he calls the disciples. It's even that isn't all that extensive compared to some of the other gospels. It's just, bang, you're into the gospel, and then you're just going at full speed. And then we'll find out, or if you perhaps remember from past years, the end of Mark's gospel just sort of stops. It's not like all this extensive Jesus meets with the disciples after he's resurrected. No, it's just the women show up at the tomb, they hear the word of the angels, and then the women flee in fear, the end. That's it. That's Mark's gospel. In fact, you know, it's not just 1970s era, you know, lectionary committees that struggled with this ending. In fact, ancient writers would often tack on an additional ending to Mark. If you ever dig into your Bible sometime, you'll maybe see a line that says the, you know, optional ending of Mark, or the or something like that, the extended ending of Mark, because they're like, this isn't really a very satisfying ending. It's got to be more like Matthew. It's got to be more like Luke. But I hope we'll discover as we go along this year that there is a good reason for that. Mark did know what he was doing when he was writing the gospel, and the sort of message he wanted to share about Jesus. And we do get a bit of a glimpse of that today. You know, I don't want to spoil it all at once, but we do get this taste, this theme in Mark, to be prepared, to stay awake, because, you know, something unexpected is coming, or at least something that we had hoped for, but we weren't quite sure about, that we didn't quite want to believe in. That Jesus is coming into our world, that God is making this new entrance, this new arrival into our world. Professor Matt Skinner calls it an incursion, God's incursion into our world, that Christ brings the reign of God into a world where other reigns claim to hold sway. Divine deliverance is at hand. You know, and that's a message that that it's not just for those first century Jewish folks that they needed to hear, but I think it's a message we need to hear as well. Because we've seen a lot of improvements, but we still see a lot of other reigns that claim to hold sway. We see a lot of powers and forces in our world that claim to hold sway, that fight to hold sway. All this violence, all this hate, all these ideologies of fear and distrust, all the greed and the selfishness, that's another reign that fights to hold sway, right? The reign of money and power. We can see, we've seen in the last month or two some of the side effects of that, some of the consequences of that, as too much reign and power has led to other corruptions in many of the powerful men in our society. And we are finally perhaps coming to a bit of rebalancing in our world. But there's a lot of reigns, a lot of people and institutions and thoughts and belief systems that are fighting to hold sway that does not match the message of Jesus Christ. And so we long for this coming of God into our world as much as those people 2,000 plus years ago. And perhaps that's why Mark sometimes avoids the more cute, fun stories, you know, no baby Jesus in the manger, no innkeeper or shepherds or little drummer boy or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Those last two might not have been actually in the Bible, but but Mark avoids them all the same, right? And perhaps there is a good reason for that, because Jesus' arrival into our world, as much as it might be a cute event, as much as it might be a joyous event, it's also a very important event. It has great meaning for our world. It's going to change our lives. So it's you know, sometimes we need to hear the warm, fuzzy messages. So it's good we have Matthew, we have Luke, we have John, who has his own sort of way of beginning and telling the story of Jesus. But sometimes we need Mark's reminder as well to just cut to the chase, to get it straight. Right off the bat, what Jesus is here for, what he's come to do in our lives. Because we are all in a world that's filled with longing, that's begging for hope, that's begging for forgiveness, that desires and needs and wants and is eagerly anticipating salvation. And we should be ready for that. That is what is coming. Thanks be to God. Amen.